Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Miller, the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is November the 18th, 2023, or it's the 6th day of Chester, 2027. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day. I'll go right on into our sermon, which is a continuation of Vicki Hollis' preachings on Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 36. Our prayer thought is going to be Texts for Prayer, Vicki Hollis gave from the Mount of Blessing, page 198, by Ellen G. White. It says, for the narrow upward road leading to home and rest, furnished Yahshua with an impressive figure of the Christian way. For the path which I have set before you, he said, is narrow, for the gate is difficult of the entrance, for the golden rule excludes all pride and self-seeking. There is indeed a wider road, but its end is destruction. If you would climb the path of the spiritual life, you must constantly ascend, for it is an upward way. You must go with the few, for the multitude will choose the downward path. I wrote a song one time called The High and Cast Up Way. I've been down this valley below, oh, so long that I'm growing old, trying to cross that chasm deep and wide. I can see the high and cast up way on the winding path I'd like to stay until I reach the top over on the other side. And the road to death, the whole race may go with all of their worldliness, all their selfishness, all their pride, dishonesty, and moral debasement. For there is room for every man's opinions and doctrines, space for the following of his inclinations, for the doing whatever his self-love may dictate, and the order for the going in the path that leads unto destruction. There is no need of the searching for the way, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad, and the feet naturally turns into the path that ends in death. We should pray for the power to enable us to turn aside from the broad path, from the following of the self, in the path in which we find ourselves from the birth up. For we should pray to choose the narrow path with the few, to know for a certainty that only the narrow upward way leads unto home and to peace. Okay, that's the end of our prayer thought for this sermon. We're going to say a quiet prayer, or just a short prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful once again for your many blessings to us. Continue to guide us on the high and cast up way and help us to understand new truths as we read them and apply them right. Especially this word Christian. It has a multiplicity of meanings as we find out today. So, even the Catholics call themselves Christians today. But they were first called Christians at Antioch. And so what have we here? Well, they were Pharisees infiltrating the apostolic congregation of the apostles. And they were pretending to believe the gospel truth of Yahshua that the apostles were teaching. The gospel was the brother of the new and living way, the plan of salvation, the brother of everlasting covenant, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18, 19 and 20. And so, there we have it. They were pretending that they were lying. They were just there to corrupt the teaching of the apostolics. by wanting to be called Christians. In other words, a universal generic term for anybody that wanted to come and join the apostolic church from any religion and still hold on to your old religion, but yet infiltrate the true congregation and pretend that you believe what they're teaching. All the time you're bringing in your false doctrines, which is idolatry, to infiltrate into a purified church teaching pure doctrine. That's the best way I can explain this word Christian right now. All right, it says, last week we finished studying the 35th chapter of the book of the Isaiah. Now the title of our sermon is Comfort Ye, Ye My People. Vicki Hoff, April 12, 1947. It says, and now since, as can be readily seen, chapter 36 to 39 in interrupt with the historical data that the theme of the Isaiah's prophecy, we shall continue where inspiration picks up the thread of the thought in the chapter 40 with a tender prayer unto Yahweh's message bearing people. Isaiah 40 verse 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith the Yahweh the Father. Speak ye comfortably unto Yahrushim. Well, actually, this is Yahshua's talking here, the Son. So let's do that again. Yahshua is saying, comfort ye, he's telling his convert, comfort ye, my people, saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Speak ye comfortably unto Yahrushim, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Yahshua of the Yahshua's hand double for all her sin. Now, if we understand present truth today, and we're on the high and cast up way, following present truth as it unfolds, would you say that we have been delivered, and that we have a message of comfort for those that come to hear what we have to say? Verse 2 leaves no doubt that inspiration is with the speaking unto a people in the latter days. There you have it right there. And we're the ones that are dealing right today with every word we speak, with inspiration, giving us understanding of it. In the days in which the warfare, the pilgrimage and captivity of the Yahweh's weary people are accomplished, and receive double for their sin and rebellion. Their iniquity is pardoned and are now soon to be delivered, for you cannot afford for the overlooking of this comforting message. You must not neglect to make ready, for that is the reason that it is now unsealed and freely delivered unto you. Prepare to meet thy Yahshua, the Son, is his keynote. Because he's coming in person a second time. That's what the theme of the Bible is all about, us. Yahshua's first and second coming. That's the whole thing. Isaiah 40 verse 2, for the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. So Yahshua's voice is crying in the wilderness. Didn't it cry in the wilderness with Moses for 40 years when Yahshua, that rock in the cloud, went down with Moses down into Egypt, and he brought the children of Israel out into the wilderness for 40 years? Then wasn't the Yahshua's voice from that cloud every day, dictating to Moses his message every day? But that was a voice right there in the type, Yahshua. Paul said he was that rock in the cloud that followed the children of Israel for 40 years. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Paul said he was, Yahshua was that rock in the cloud. So Yahshua's voice was crying in the wilderness for 40 years unto Moses, unto the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. There's your type right there for Yahshua's voice crying in the wilderness again a second time. Here in these last days. Verse 3 found fulfillment in the work of John the Baptist, the verses preceding and also the verses following definitely apply unto the people in the latter days, and only partially unto the people in the John's day. Therefore, the truth stands out boldly that the direct fulfillment of this chapter is found in our time, thus making John's work an example of our work. And what was John? Yahshua said John was John the Baptist. What? Said he was the Elijah that was to come. He is the Elijah. He's here right now. And an example of our work, making John's work as the type of our work in the Antitype. So who was John? He was the Elijah of his day, forerunner of Yahshua. And who is the Elijah in his last day? Again, we have the forerunner of Yahshua for his second advent. This antitypical Elijah is supposed to announce the day, an hour, that our antitypical Yahshua has come in the Spirit, which I showed that there. And at the Passover 2002, Yahshua came in the Spirit. He went back to heaven. He's going to come back this time in the Spirit and power of his position. And he's going to be in person, real person. But it'll be after the sealing of the saints that are without sin. He can only appear unto those that are sealed without sin. So it'll be after the antitypical day of Pentecost when we will meet Yahshua. Because Yahshua is seen standing on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Revelation 14:1 here in the second advent, and it says that the 144,000 comes forth on the day of Pentecost at the third hour. So Yahshua is going to appear on the day of Pentecost at the third hour in the Antitype. And he's going to sanctify those that have met the requirements at the Yahshua's Supper 7 days earlier. No, 7 weeks earlier. Alright, it says that for the wilderness and the desert, Isaiah 40 verse 3, in the contrast unto the vineyard as the house of Judah. Okay. So here we have the identification that the vineyard of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 5:7, is actually in the house of Judah, the house of David. Okay, now, literally and antitypically says, for the voice of him that crieth in the land of the Gentiles, that says, prepare ye the way of the Yahshua, the Son, make straight in the Gentile world a highway for our Redeemer, our Savior, Yahshua. Okay. So what does it say John the Baptist came for? He was to point out the coming of the Messiah. And when he came, he pointed him out that here he is. And he says, to make straight a place in the wilderness for Yahshua to come and to have a ministry. So John the Baptist had to make straight by showing the fulfillment of the prophecy of that they pointed out Yahshua's first coming. So John the Baptist was there to sound that prophecy. Okay. So it says the antitypical Elijah is going to do the same thing today. It says he's going to even announce a voice of the coming of the Son of Man. He's going to even announce his voice. So it says in Isaiah 40 verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Okay, so there's a cleaning out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Texas and all over the world. You're going to clean out all of those tears that have come in and eroded the Adventist Church with that Trinity doctrine, false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three-in-one person of the Godhead, completely negating and eliminating the plan of the salvation of the brother of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua in Hebrews chapter 10, the whole chapter, especially verse 19 and 20, the new and living way. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. As every church that the Adventist Church has control of here in this country, every building that she has, every school, every hospital she's in charge of, it's going to be made low. In other words, it's going to be destroyed. To make that this highway straight, the voice of the Yahshua is, as it were, for the raising up of the valleys, cut through the mountains and hills, and grind down the rough places. That is, every obstruction must and will be removed, for the saints must be gathered regardless where they live. Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Yahshua shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Yahweh, the Father, hath spoken it. This shall come to pass as soon as the highway is made ready. Now, as soon as this highway is made ready, this is going to come to pass. For this highway right now is close to being made ready. We've got the present truth now to how to establish this highway. It goes along with that song I wrote, clear the king's highway, change the devil, make him pay. For a light has come on from above. To make the highway straight, the voice is, as it were, for the raising up of the valleys, cut through the mountains and hills. And that means all church organizations, their headquarters, and all their small churches, and grind down the rough places, that is, every obstruction must and will be removed, for the saints must be gathered regardless where they live. Sister White wrote in volume 3, I believe, of the testimonies, page 333, she said that every stumbling block may be removed, so Yahweh is going to have a pure people to declare his statute and judgments here in these last days. Isaiah 40, verse 5, and the glory of the Yahshua shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. All flesh, good or bad, whether they're flesh or spiritual, all flesh is going to see it together. For the mouth of Yahshua has spoken. And it may be, it means that all spiritual flesh is going to see it together. But I don't think the wicked is going to ever see any truth and acknowledge it any time. This shall come to pass as soon as the highway is made ready. Isaiah 40, verse 16. For the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withered, the flower faded, because the spirit of the Yahshua, the Son, bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our Yahweh, the Father, shall stand forever. And how does it stand forever? Through his Son, Yahshua. Okay. Because it says in John 1:14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that Yahshua was the one that made flesh and said the Word was made flesh. Isaiah 40, verse 9 to 11. It says, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings. Okay, let's do that again. O Mount Zion, at the 12th hour. Oh, okay. Let's back up and read something we missed here. For the voice proclaims that all the grass, that all the goodness of men is as the flowers of the field, but the word of Yahweh stands forever. It must be then that men are blind unto these realities, else they would not need to be reminded of them. For it must be that they are depending upon flesh instead of upon the word of Yahweh and His Spirit. Isaiah 40, verse 9-11. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with the strength lifted up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your Yahweh, behold your Yahweh will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are with the young. For the message which this chapter contains, we see, is not a message to be preached unto the world, but unto the cities of the antitypical Judah, as the house of David is the lawgiver, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of this Judah. So Judah, then, and Benjamin, the two tribes, they're the ones that hears this first, and then it goes to the ten tribes. Alright, it says, the church and those who proclaim it are citizens, and today your antitypical Judah is identified as a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, exclusively the Shepherd Rock, Mount Carmel, B.T. Hutter, represents this Judah today. Judah was born in 1890, Ezekiel 4, when Ezekiel laid on his right side for 40 days, a day for your fasting for the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. And then in 1930, when the 40 years is up, Luther Heller come on the scene with a message of Judah. And he called his name Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, meaning David was from the tribe of Judah. Okay. So it says, Judah, antitypical Judah, the church of those who, the spiritual church, and those who proclaim it are citizens of the antitypical Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and Jerusalem, members of the church, for they are fearlessly to lift up their voices with the strength. They are for the explaining that the people whom Yahweh uses to get his work done are his arm, that they are the rule for him, that his reward is with him, and his work yet before him, that he shall feed his flock, and with his arm, and you know who his arm is, it's his church, it's the purified church, the house of David, and he shall gather the lambs. Okay, so the lambs are going to be gathered by the house of David, and of course, you have the 144,000, which are the ones that are converted unto the house of David. And they're the ones that actually go and gather the lambs for the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, and bring them to this kingdom. And it's called the Holy Mountain. Isaiah 66 says this kingdom here, heaven on earth, is called the Holy Mountain. The newly converted carry them into his kingdom. Isaiah 40 verse 12 and 20. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? and made it out heaven with a span, and comprehended the depth of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scale, and the hill in a balance. Who hath directed the spirit of the Yahshua, or been his counselor, hath taught him, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, of the judgment, and taught him of the knowledge, and showed unto him the way of the understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isle as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted unto him less than nothing and vanity. Unto whom then will you like Yahweh? Or what likeness will you, unto whom then will you liken Yahshua the Son? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? For the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with the gold, and chasteth silver of chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Those who are ignorant of the Yahweh liken him unto something. But the great question is, unto what are we likening him? Unto something, though there is no comparison of him. Let's do it again. Those who are ignorant of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, liken him unto something, but the great question is, unto what are we likening this Yahshua unto? To something, though there is no comparison of him? And there is no comparison of Yahshua in the universe, because of what he did and what he accomplished by his death on the cross. Isaiah 40, verse 21 to 26. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told unto you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, Yahshua, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as the grasshoppers, that stretches out the heaven as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as a stubble. Unto whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Now the Holy One, Isaiah says, is Yahshua the Son. He says it about 46 times there in the book of Isaiah. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by the number? For he calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in the power, not one faileth. Oh, how great a Yahweh the Father is, our Yahweh. And how so are we to grasp His promises? How so are we are to let Him take full charge of us just as He has charge of the stars? Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, My way is hid from Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Yahweh. Obviously, Yahweh's people are mistaken concerning His knowledge of their ways. Isaiah 40, verse 8-31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting Yahweh, the Yahweh as the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power unto the faint, and unto them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon Yeshua shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of the eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. These verses explain that Yahweh's people need to know all these things before they earn the right to walk into His holy kingdom. So we represent this holy kingdom today being set up here, the kingdom of David. And what a wonderful privilege is ours if we but won't, but wait on the Yeshua. If we but remain true and faithful unto His word, then He shall renew our strength like the eagle, and we shall run and not be weary, we shall walk and not be faint. I just said this morning, I said, I'm getting on that Dean Karnazes diet, that this man from the Greeks, he's a Greek, from the, his parents come from Greece, and he can run 350 miles nonstop. It takes him 3 days to do it, because he has a special diet that enables him to do this. He can run 3 days and three nights without sleeping. They said, what a wonderful privilege. Okay, said, these verses explain that the Yahshua's people need to know all these things before they can earn the right to walk into His holy kingdom. And what a wonderful privilege is ours if we but wait on the Yahshua, if we but remain true and faithful unto His word, then He shall renew our strength like the eagle. We shall run to and fro. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. As the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is fast approaching, and as we are already told what to do to make ready, we need not be found wanting. Surely His salvation is high, is nigh unto them that fear Him. Well, what is this salvation? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, His blood, that glory may dwell in our land. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from the heaven. Yea, the Yahshua shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set us in the way of His steps. Psalms 85:9-12. What a comforting message this is. Any wonder why the Almighty, this is talking about the Father, unringingly command, comfort ye, my people. End of Canon of Readings, Volume 1, Number 36. We have time to go into our next sermon, First Canon of Readings, Number 37. That was a short one we just had. And that number 37, Canon of Readings, Volume 1, is the end of your long and trying journey. Well, we're looking at the end of our long and trying journey. I've been on a long and trying journey ever since I was born in 1938, 85 years. Okay. Our study for this afternoon is found in the 51st chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse. Text of address, April 19th, 1947, by V.T. Harlock. He says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness." Now, those that follow the plan of service, the blood of the everlasting covenant, that you're following after righteousness, ye that seek the Yeshua, look unto the rock, and he's that rock in the cloud. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:4, that followed and led the children of Israel out of Egypt for 40 years, whence you are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit, whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bear you. So if you're a true descendant of Abraham, you're also a true descendant of Sarah, his wife. Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. In this chapter, Yahweh is speaking unto the descendants of the Abraham, unto a generation that is falling after the righteousness. We now need to find in the stream of time the exact generation which inspiration here addresses. Is it in the time of the people of the Moses, of the Isaiah's time, or of the apostolic, of the apostles' time, of our time, or of some other time? For if the chapter is addressed unto us, then our need of the study of studying it and our interest in it will be infinitely greater than it would be otherwise. For the information we are seeking is found in the verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of the Yeshua, the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the trembling and run them out. Isaiah 51:17. For this verse reveals that Yahweh is speaking unto a people who have gone through all the trials, hardships, captivity, and persecution, a lot of them to go through for their sin and disobedience, like he did for Jacob the 20 years that he was run out of his father's house of Isaac by Esau and ended up into his uncle's place there in Mesopotamia across the border from the land of Israel. And he had to spend 20 years in servitude working for his uncle, Laban, for his deceiving Esau out of his birthright. They have drunk of the dregs of the cup of the trembling and even wrung them out. At long last, there are no more dregs left in the cup. This, you could not be a said to be of the people in the Moses' time, nor in the Isaiah's time, nor even in the apostles' time. It could not be said unto any people at any time, but unto those who have come unto the time of their liberation from the want, fear, and insecurity which they have created to their sin and rebellion. When Jacob wrestled with the angel all night, he was pleading for forgiveness that he had been pleading for 20 years to be forgiven of his sin for deceiving his brother out of his birthright. Therefore, the divine calling to awake, however, revealed that though the time of the deliverance has come, yet they are in a deep spiritual sleep, ignorant of these good tidings. Thus saith the Yeshua, and the Redeemer that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand a cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of the trembling. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Isaiah 51:22. Okay, it says, for the Yahweh, you see, positively addresses a people who have already taken all the punishments they ought to take, and at long last, he is pleading their cause. For the Yahshua is doing it. They cannot be said at any time unto any people hitherto. How do you know? How do we know that the time is here and that the Yahshua is now speaking on earth? We know it from the fact that these long concealed prophecies on the subject are now, for the first time, unfolded and brought unto our attention. For we are now ready for the studying of the chapter verse by verse. Isaiah 51:1-2. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Yahshua, look unto the rock which ye are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bear you, for I have called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Yahweh advised his people of today to hearken unto him. There are those who are endeavoring for the obtaining of the righteousness, those who are seeking for unto the Yahshua, and who are anxious for the having of a revival and a reformation among them. They are now urged to look unto the rock, Yahshua, the Son, whence they are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence they are digged. We are not to conclude that the Jews are the only descendants of the Abraham. Those who are fortunate enough to have this revelation brought unto them are the people. So if you're sitting here hearing this revelation brought unto you for the first time, well then count yourself as being a call to be a part of Yahweh's great movement with his people. There is no other safe conclusion. If the Yahweh causes the prophecies to be written, sealed, and then unsealed at his will and at the time appointed, for the Jews therefore are not as the only descendants of Abraham, for the finding who these seekers of the righteousness really are, there are several genealogical facts to consider. Number one, only the citizens of the kingdom of Judah, as the two-tribe kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, received the title of Jews. Number two, those of the ten-tribe kingdom, as the kingdom of Israel, were scattered among the nations, and there they completely lost their identity. Number three, for the Christian church was, for the apostolic church of the 12 apostles that Yahshua set up at the cross, for the apostolic congregation itself is an upshoot of the Jewish church, the Pharisees, at the cross, and nation, as the apostles and her followers, up until about 35 A.D., were all called Jews of the tribe of Judah. It's called Judeans. Then it was again a multitude of the Jews, which were called Judeans, lost their identity by calling themselves Christians. There it is. For they were first called Christians at Antioch, comparatively speaking, only a few Jews from the kingdom of Judah have preserved their national title, Jews. Well, that may be a national title, but the original title was given to them as the Judeans. They were called Judeans, not Jews. For the descendants of the early apostolic Jews, of the 12 apostles, and the descendants of the 10 tribes down into the stream of time must have increased unto a great innumerable multitude, for the Abraham's seed was to be as the sand of the sea for the multitude. It is therefore obvious that the few identified Jews of today are not as the only descendants of the Abraham, but that many of the Gentiles must be of the Abraham also. Since this mixed-up situation exists, hardly any one can really say for sure that he is not one of Abraham's children. Perhaps many of the nations whom the world calls Gentiles are the children of Abraham. We do not know for sure who is who. Yahweh, however, has kept a perfect genealogical record, where he says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them, that know me, behold Philistia and Tyre with the Ethiopian. This man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. For the Asher shall count when he rideth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. Psalms 87, verse 46. Furthermore, though one be of the Gentile blood, if he truly accepts the Yahshua, he by his spiritual birth becomes of the seed of Abraham, for says the inspiration, if you be the Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. Galatians 3:29. For the children of Abraham here addressed, therefore, are not to be sought among the identified unbelieving Jews, that the Pharisees, but among the Christians, that is your amalgamation of all the Protestant churches today. They are admonished to look unto Abraham and Sarah, and to consider that when Yahweh called Abraham, though he was alone, he nevertheless obeyed, and Yahweh blessed him. That in spite of all the apparent impossibility with both him and Sarah, he increased him. What if you personally and alone were called by his word, as was Abraham, to stand alone for the truth and righteousness? Would you be a hero for Yahweh, as was Abraham? Or would you do as did the backsliding Judas Iscariot? If we were not privileged to choose as was Abraham, Yahweh would not have reminded us of Abraham's experience. We are plainly told not to lose courage, but to have faith in the Yahweh, for he intends to bless and increase us as he blessed and increased our ancestors Abraham and Sarah. For the reason he gives for the blessing us as he blesses them is this, Isaiah 51:3, for the Yahweh shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Yahweh. Can you imagine right here in Texas, this prophecy first meets this fulfillment of turning this desert out there in West Texas into a virtual garden of Eden type of atmosphere? Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. For the focal point of the scriptures is the rebuilding of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. The rebuilding of the old Mount Zion here in the 12th prophetic hour by the Mount Zion at the 12th hour is the one that's going to be given this job to do. And that is our charge. Beat your heart, says that was the charge of the shepherd Rod, with the rebuilding of old Mount Zion. Isaiah 51:4-5. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arms shall they trust. We are asked to hearken unto the Yeshua because a law and a judgment are to proceed from him. These are to be a light unto the people. Again, says the Yahweh, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yeshua's house, or of the Yahweh's house, the Father, shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, unto the house of Yahweh of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of his hand shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares, and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2:2-4. And what are they doing today? All the nations of the world are learning war. They're planning a great big assault on Jerusalem, the land of Israel. They overthrow the land of Israel. Today, right this very day. Okay, so say my righteousness is near and my salvation is gone forth. It means that the plan of salvation, the brother everlasting covenant, has been taught since 1970 with the creation calendar, showing how to restore the sanctuary system in these last days in the spiritual sense. My salvation is gone forth. From the brother W. Johnson, 1970, it's been going forth ever since. Is to say that salvation has been here, but righteousness is about to come. So yeah, we've had salvation, but the plan of salvation through the creation calendar of Brother Scott, 1970, it didn't sanctify his congregation for 33 years that he followed the creation calendar. And how true? What is the Yahshua's arm that judges the people? This we shall see as we read. Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. No, put on thy strength, O arm of the Yahshua. Awake, as in the ancient days, and the generations of the, art not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? That dragon is that's in Isaiah 27. Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? How illogical it would be for Yahweh to be trying to awake himself as though he or his own arm is asleep. This verse shows that he calls for the Exodus movement as his arm. So we got an antithetical Exodus movement today, Isaiah 11:11. And that's what we're representing right now to get set up, is this second antithetical movement. Rightly so, because Yahweh does not work with his servant. His servants, therefore, are his arm, and they shall judge or rule the people, and the people shall trust on them. So he's going to raise up his kingdom, kingdom of David, as his right arm, and the people that comes under righteousness and seeking under the kingdom of peace are going to come under this kingdom. Isaiah 51:6. Lift up your eyes unto the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like the smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in the like manner. But my salvation, or the plan of the salvation of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. We are necessarily reminded that all else shall perish, but those who obtain Yahweh's salvation and his righteousness shall stand forever. Isaiah 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, as a people, and whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Those who know his righteousness as the people unto whom this truth is revealed, and who have his law in their heart, obviously will suffer from the reproach and revilings of men, but they are admonished not to fear. And what shall be the end of their adversaries? Here is the answer. Isaiah 51:8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like the wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Plainly, we pity our Laodicean brethren, the Seventh-day Adventists, who are so angrily but blindly against us. Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Yahweh. What is this? This is the mountain of the house of Yahweh, as mentioned there in Daniel 2 and Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. Awake as to the ancient days and the generations of the old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea for the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? If his people were not asleep, then what need would there be for the calling them to awaken? We are glad that Yahweh himself is arousing us and plainly telling us that as our forefathers did great things, we too, as the Yeshua's arm, that's the kingdom of David, here in the 12th parabolic hour, can and shall do even greater things than they. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Yeshua shall return, and come with the singing unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and the 12th parabolic hour, and the last hour of probationary time, and the judgment of the living time, and the harvest time of earth's history, both of the living and of the resurrection of the dead, righteous. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Thanks be unto Yahweh that He is not only to awaken His people and to cause them to sing while marching into Zion, marching into the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. You've heard that song, we're marching to Zion. Well, here it is. But is also able for the removing of their sorrows and their mournings forever. He is well able to put everlasting joy upon their heads. Isaiah 51:12. I even I am He that comforted you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as the dread? In an endeavor for the showing us how absurd it is for the fearing men that shall die as does grass under the foot, inspiration and this verse emphasizes the promised comforts of the Isaiah 51:11. It must be that with some the fear of man is great. How that we have the Yahweh's word and comfort, let us fear Him who only is to be feared, Isaiah 51:13, and forget us the Yahshua thy Maker, or the Yahweh thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if He were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? When we begin to fear man, just that moment we forget Yahweh. For the question, where is the fury of the oppressor, implies that in reality there is not any. That is only a bluff. Isaiah 51:14-15. For the captives, exile hasteneth that we may be loosed, that he may be loosed. Yeah. And let's do that again. For the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, that divides the sea, whose ways roared for the Yahshua. No, this is I read that wrong. But I am the Yahshua, thy Redeemer and thy Savior, that divideth the sea. And Yahshua is the one that divided that sea of the Red Sea and called the children of Israel to pass over dry shod coming out of Egypt at the end of the 40 years. He dried up that Red Sea for them to cross over at the beginning of the 40 years. Yahshua is that rock in the cloud that dried up that sea. But it says He is the one again that dries up the sea, whose ways roar, for the Yahshua of the host is His name. Yes, the captives hope for their release, but the Yahweh does not hope for the sea itself to divide. He divides it at will and causes His people to go through on dry ground. Isaiah 51. So again, that's talking about the Yahshua. Yes, the captives hope for their release, but the Yahshua the Son does not hope for the sea itself to divide. For He, Yahshua the Son, divides it at the will and causes His people to go through on the dry ground. Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the 12th parabolic hour, thou art my people, house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, thou art my people. We have Yahweh's own statement that the words we speak are the words of the truth direct from Him. Moreover, He assures us that His hand, His care, and keeping are around us, that by this means He may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, thou art my people. Isaiah 51:17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Yahshua the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the trembling and wrung them out. Awake, awake, my friend, unto the fact that our captivity, our sorrow, and our mourning are about over. We are never again to go through them. He who divides the sea can indeed make us free. Isaiah 51:18, that's Yahshua. He's the one that divided the sea the first time. Yeah. And he's the one that divided the Jordan and caused Joshua to take the children over at the end of the 40-year period in the wilderness. He was the one that divided the river Jordan. And Joshua went over with the children of Israel, with the Ark of the Covenant. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she has brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. For the Zion's past and even present condition is now brought unto the view for our consideration. What is a desolation? What a terrible state for a church to be in after having brought forth many converts. There is not a one to give her a helping hand. Well, the Adventists have certainly brought forth a lot of converts since 1844. For 175 years, she's brought forth millions of converts. Here we are told that the laity and the Adventist Laodicean Church are not of any spiritual help to the mother, the ministry. No, not even one endeavors to lift his hand to help the ministering brethren. They are all more or less in agreement to stay wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. Isaiah 51:19. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorrow for thee? Desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? David of the old was given to choose one of three things. So, Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemy while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? 2 Samuel 24:10-13. Now in a like manner Yahweh's people are asked to choose either desolation and destruction or famine and the sword. Then unlike in David's day, he himself solves our problem if we let him. These are some of the things which Yahweh's people have gone through, even how some of these things still surround them. Our hope, nevertheless, is in the Yahweh's deliverance. Isaiah 51:20-22. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are all full of the fury of the Yahweh. The rebuke of thy Yahweh. Therefore, hear now this. Thou afflicted and drunken, but not with the wine. Thus saith the Yahweh, and thy Yahweh that pleaded the cause of his people. Let's go to this again. Thus saith the Yahshua, the Son, and the Father of Yahweh, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of the trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Shall we not be thankful unto to know that everyone whose name is found and the book shall be delivered even from the time of the trouble into which we are soon to enter, and we have already entered into that time of trouble. Michael shall stand up for his people, Daniel 12:1. Once that he giveth us, he shall never again scatter us. Isaiah 51:23. But I will put it, the cup of his fury, into the hand of them that afflict thee, which has said unto thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street, to them that went over. For the tables are turned. What Yahweh's people once had to take from their enemies must soon take from them. Let us therefore not neglect to take advantage of Yahweh's plea of the deliverance. Yes, my friends, since our long and trying journey is at an end, let us, as the Yahweh's arm gives earnest heed unto his awakening call, now at the end of our long and trying journey, let us allow nothing to hold us back from the obtaining of the two things that are to make us stand forever, Yahweh's salvation and his righteousness. That is the Yahshua's salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant and his righteousness. We are now asked to choose either to stand on the Yahweh's side or on the side of his adversary, those whom we fear, those who are doing everything to close our eyes unto the Yahweh's truth. For this time, either to choose the Yahweh, or his spirit and his revealed truth, or to choose men, desolation and destruction, the famine and the sword. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now.